All right, folks, this is another episode of the Lane 8 BMX podcast. And I have today a young man. I remember coming across him in Minnesota when I moved back home and was totally fascinated by the simple fact that this young kid at the time had so much power, so much speed, and he was just smooth. And the kid's name is Taylor Reedeman. Now, he's a young man. Now, I haven't talked to him in a few years, and we've got him on today to talk about what he's been up. He had walked away from BMX a while ago, so I was like, let me see if this man will talk to me. Taylor, how you doing?
Not too bad. Doing pretty good. Excited to get back into the sport and meet all the old faces again and see all the new ones for sure. I'm super excited to be on your podcast and glad that you'd have me.
Thank you, man. Okay, so I'm going to start from you getting back in. Tell me this. What made you come back?
You know, just that racer adrenaline. I mean, in all honesty, it just, once you ride for so long, it's just something you can't really fulfill in with anything else. And being out for so long, it's just kind of like, you know what? What's the worst that's going to happen? And started going back to the track and riding and fell back in love with it. And I mean, I try to race every race that I can now, and just, I can't get enough of it, to be honest.
Wow, that is really cool. Okay, so you got to take me through this. So you decide to come back and race. Did you have a bike already? And what was the first day like when you got back on the track?
Well, I had the old bike still put together because I knew myself, and as much as I tried to stay away from the track, I knew that itch was going to come back eventually. I just didn't know when. And so we had the old Paro still put together, which luckily enough, I was a bigger kid then, so it still fit now.
Wow.
And going back that first day at the track, I had very minimal expectations going into it as far as where speed was and how it was going to feel. And I knew it was going to be a long journey as far as conditioning goes. And I'm still working through all that process. But I mean, as far as the smoothness goes and the riding, the feeling, it's like I never set it down. It's just,
wow.
Oh boy, am I tired nowadays. It's a lot different than when I was younger.
Not bad, not bad. Okay, when did you do your first race and how did that go?
I'd have to say I did my first race about 4 months ago.
Wow.
And I got dropped right in with these kids who, I mean, they're a couple years younger than I was when I stopped riding, and then they're at the track all the time. And it was a bit of aggressive start back into it, but you know, keeping positive attitudes and learning how to not go out there and win races and stuff like that as far as single points go, it was a little bit of a mind change. But that was kind of the positive attitude I had to have coming back into it, doing it for fun.
Oh man, I love that. I love that. Okay, so if you were to go to a national, would you be racing 21 to 25?
Correct. Yep. So I'd be 21, 25 for the rest of this year and starting next year, I suppose, depending on when they switch that over.
Wow. Okay. So you've been racing and training for about 4 months. And then I heard and saw that you could be riding with Black Widow. How did that come about?
You know, I've known Dan and for a long time and his team. And I've kind of really liked the way that he's conducted himself and organized a group of riders and how they have that big family aspect to it. And
yeah,
they have a lot of youthful riders on their team. And one big thing I really was important for me going back in is not necessarily going back to chase after any of the titles or anything like that, but really expressing all my knowledge and skills to a lot of these younger riders and really see what they can do and give them the chance to win these events as they want to and complete their goals.
Wow.
And that just kind of, that was really the gist of getting back into it. And really, I was happy that they extended out the opportunity, and he was pretty excited to see me come back to the sport. And like I said, we've known each other for a long time, and it just kind of, it clicked a lot easier than most things do.
Wow. So have a lot of the kids on the team come up to you to talk about, you know, training? How do I get over a particular jump? How do I come out the gate better? Because you were, man, you were the full package the last time I saw you.
there's been a handful of kids that that have been racing long enough to know who I was before and what I've achieved, and they're definitely eager and asking me different details, and that's really what it's about, is finding those minor details and filling them in there. And then there's been a handful of kids that they're newer to the sport in the last it was like 4 years that I was off, and they're a little on the wow, who's this guy, just kind of coming back, did you ride before? And wow. It's been a little bit of a proving myself at the current moment, but we're clicking in with the team really well, and I'm hoping to start coaching some more clinics here coming up soon and really vibing with the team into this year.
Oh man, that's so cool. Tell me this, you took a 4-year hiatus. Coming back, did you notice that the sport had progressed that much further?
I mean, the sport itself was progressing pretty big when I ended up leaving out and going on my way. But as I came back in, especially at Rum River BMX, I mean, the amount of riders and the youthfulness and the moto count that they have is just, it's crazy. And it's like they've just improved tenfold. And from what I've been seeing, I've been obviously following the national circuit because you can't really get away from all those super fast dudes that you always got to like watching them and watching the UCI circuit mm-hmm. and stuff like that. And guys like Braden Campbell, you've known forever, and just getting into that pro circuit. I mean, the amount of growth, not only in the riders, but the sport has been tremendous. And it's not even capped out there from what I can tell and my perspective. It just keeps growing, and it's crazy how big it's getting.
Not bad. Is there a thought of going back to race the National?
Right now, I'm trying to get into it for fun, and which my dad gives me a little bit of a joking matter with it. And he knows me better than I do. As much as I say I'm getting into it for fun, the more I want to race, the more bigger races I want to ride in. And I've always just been a really big, however many riders we can get in, the bigger the race, the more energy, the more excitement it brings to me. And he knows as much as I do, as much as I'm still not sure how many nationals I'd go to this year. I can see a couple definitely coming into the books as we progress into the year.
Not bad. Not bad. Well, tell me this, because heading back to Rum River, were people surprised to see you show up?
Yes. Yeah. No, there was for sure a couple people there that were, I thought they seen a ghost. I mean, it was more of a surprising, like, whoa, what are you doing here? And then there was a couple people, like I said, that same thing with the Black Widow team, which is like, oh, I don't know who this guy is, but coming back in definitely grabbed some attention riding again. There's been a lot of newer riders and folks that have came back up and congratulated me on coming back into the sport. Yeah. And really just getting back into everything that's going on. And it's been a whirlwind for sure.
Not bad. Okay, I got to ask the big question. Why did you stop?
To be honest, when I ended up the last year, I suffered 2 pretty good injuries, and it was kind of a good portion of the season was sitting out. And at that point, I was starting to advance my life more with my girlfriend, which is now my fiance.
Congrats.
And we decided to, thank you. We decided to kind of maybe look into the next step and see what we can do. And I figured getting a good career started, and I started doing wood framing, building custom homes for about 4 years. And just kind of transferred over into the union recently, building commercial homes.
And congrats, man.
It just really got my foot into the door of life and got into a good spot and started figuring out life. And now just fulfilling it back up and ideally going back in, not aiming to get too many injuries anymore. I mean, obviously you got to accept some of it, but we're taking her a step down from where we were before. But yeah, that was kind of the gist of where we were 4 years ago.
Understood. Let's go back a little ways. When did you start racing, and was it easy for you to progress when you started? How old were you?
I was just turned 6. It was back in 2004. I remember our first race was at Rum River BMX, and it was nothing like it was or it is nowadays. When we started, it was me and my brother, just one day he stumbled upon it on the internet, and we decided to try it out. And I was out there on this Jeff Gordon bike. I can't even remember where I got the thing, but we just kind of, it clicked and fell in love with it. And every day after that, we kind of just progressed and wanted to go back to the track and ride. And it took probably upwards of about a year to 2 years, I think, at tops, to go from novice to intermediate to expert. And when I was an intermediate, it was really clicking for me. We did our first big race was a Gold Cup, and it was out in Topeka, Kansas. And I remember it just rained a ton, and they brought out a ton of kitty litter for the track and stuff, and just the different vibes coming into that race and the amount of people that showed up. And it just really sucked us in. And that, from that point, we kind of progressed into the national circuit following the year after, and just never really left. It just stuck with us.
Wow. Was it easy for you to take on the skills that were needed to race?
Taking on the skills, I would have to say, was probably one of the harder things. I mean, I could always train and try to become faster, but building that confidence to jump the next big jump or hitting gap jumps or learning how to double manual. I mean, there have been countless number of times that I've tried and failed. And a lot of people don't see that side of it. They always just see the older side of it where it works out. But I can't even remember the amount of times that I have cased jumps and looped out on my back doing stuff. But growing up in Minnesota, riding with my brother, and about 10 years old, we started really building a big community of riders. And I'd have to say there's probably 6 to 10 of us that really all generally the same age. And we just went out the road and pushed each other. And there'd be countless nights at the track where we'd just be there for hours after practice, daring each other to jump this line or pull this line off. And it made it fun. So working on skills was kind of more of that additive aspect later on throughout the sport. Never really anything that I progressed by myself. It was definitely just people pushing each other and riding together, which really grew that into what it is.
Not bad. Do you remember winning your first national, and how old were you?
Winning my first national, I want to say I was an intermediate, and it was 7 years old. Oh. I want to say it was either at Pine View Park, from the best of my knowledge, or Rockford BMX. One of those two, I want to say, was the first national. I remember I won it as an intermediate, and it fueled my fire. And it put this kick into something that I didn't even know where it could go at the time, but it was astonishing. And progressing into later turning into an expert, it was a little bit of a slump. I mean, I would presume that most kids that join and start into the expert community kind of see that it's a different level of racing. And when I was 8 years old and an expert, the 3 to 4 kids that we had on a regular basis, from my memories, they were all NAG riders. And one of them was actually a world competing rider. So I got to see the broad spectrum of riders that were just really at the top of the line. And I knew what I needed to do and how fast I needed to become to put myself at that level. And it just clicked and it worked. And I knew what I needed to do and how I needed to do it.
Okay. Tell me this, at that age, when you turn expert and you're racing those nationals, what type of rider were you? Were you a big gear rider, a spinner, a more skilled guy? What would you what would you have considered yourself?
Oh, I don't think even to this day I'm a spinning rider. I watch videos of myself on the track, and half the time people give me crap because they think that I'm not trying hard enough. And really, I'm trying to pedal as hard as I can. It never really worked. I always had that power. Yeah. Aspect going into it. And even as a young kid, I was a bigger sized kid up until about 13 years old, and kind of just powerhoused it. And there was a short period of time there where I didn't grow as much, and we're fighting in more of the battle aspect. They kind of had to pick up that foot speed a little bit, and then we kind of started up again and clicked. And it kind of became a mixture of both. But I would definitely say a power rider right off the beginning, for sure.
Not bad. Tell me this. What was the first big team you got on, and how did that happen?
Well, I have to say the first big team that I can recall ever being on was Mike's Bikes. And it was ran by Mike Tossett. And it was the Full Tilt before the Full Tilt. Yeah. So the local bike shop community, tons and tons of kids on anybody who wanted to be on a fast team, that was the team to be on. And it was kind of after performing a decent amount and knowing the family and riding with their son, Zach, for a while. He was part of that 6 to 10 group or 10 rider group that we had that I always kind of rode together, and just a really close family. He asked me to ride on the team. And I remember it was a day I showed up at the track and he's like, "Hey, would you be open to riding for Mike's Bikes?" And I was just astonished. And he had a bike sitting off to the side ready and built. I was like, holy moly. It was a crazy experience, and he was just gunning for it. And honestly, that was kind of the starting point of that whole family vibe into the BMX community. And it really kicked it all off. And I raced for them for a handful of years until they ended up stopped being a team.
Not bad. What was the next one after that?
After that was Shields Team Storm. And that was, I probably hands down have to say, my favorite team so far up till nowadays. It just, the kids, we all hung out outside of the track. We hung out at the track. The families that spent time together, it was really just a growing aspect. And then some of the riders are still riding to this day, and some of them have phased out. But just the amount of trial and error and building and mentorship that we had in there was really, it just grew my passion for the sport and really connected so many people together and created lifelong friends that I even talk to till this day. And that was a big impact on me.
Not bad. When did you ended up riding with Donovan Long, right?
Correct. Yep. I raced with him for two teams. It was Haro Promax and Factory Wheelwiss.
Wow. How was those?
Good. I mean, really bringing it up to that, the factory aspect, and coming into a lot more of a higher end team. He used to run, it was Intense Phantom On Track. And I remember being a kid and just like, that was a team to be on. Like, if you wanted to be on the best team, that was a team to be on. And they won multiple championships, and the riders that were on it were always top three riders. So getting a chance to be on that team and progressing with those guys and talking with Nick Long, a guy who I've looked up to for a very long time, getting to work with his dad, and it was really a life-changing experience, and figuring out things that I even to this day I didn't understand at that time, but changed over a period. And it was like, oh, I should have been doing that way before. And it made the riding a lot better as I got older.
Not bad, not bad. The reason I ask you about moving from the bike shop teams to the factory team is because you've been doing clinics and stuff like that. So you're the perfect person to be able to relay to kids and how to deal with the pressure of racing. How do you get kids to understand to just relax and do their thing?
Well, honestly, one thing that always made me a better rider was understanding how the mind aspect worked in the sport itself. Now, you're going to have your expectations you put on yourself, and then there's going to be certain level of expectations you have with every team as far as being a good teammate and a good sport, and jumping into that fat factory aspect to it, there's a little bit more put onto the performance level. Now, nobody's saying that you have to win every lap, but you definitely got to be putting in just training days and showing that you can perform at that level. And getting comfortable with uncomfortable has been one of those things that has adapted me a lot throughout my career and even into my adulthood is getting my job started and working with other kids. That's one of the biggest things I always tell them is just getting comfortable with uncomfortable will set you to a whole nother level, and knowing expectations, setting goals, and it's okay if you don't meet those expectations. That just means you got something to work on. But as a young rider, it's not fully understood at that point. But I mean, a lot of these kids that do end up clicking it, it brings down the anxiety as far as going from first and second round to semis and mains, because there's a whole different mindset rolling in from first and second round to semis and mains as far as pressure goes. And I can't say that I was the best rider to deal with it always. There's definitely been some races where I was very nervous and had some high expectations of myself, but it really just comes down to the understanding that every lap is the same as what you took the 40 practice laps you did the other day, or the multiple single point races you've been racing for your entire life, and just racing it as you would any other day.
Not bad. Not bad. What were your highest nag plates for as an amateur?
Well, as an amateur, the highest nag plate, I want to say, was on Cruiser. I got nag 2. I was never able to snag that nag 1 plate, but I've gotten nag 2, 3, I want to say 5, 7 a handful of times. I've gotten too many numbers that I can't just hit my head way too many times to remember all the numbers, but I mean, I never got the nag 1. That was always one thing that kind of, it sat there a little bit, but you know, it's not the end of all ends having those numbers. It's definitely a lot better than most kids have experienced in their days, for sure.
Understood. You've done Worlds multiple times, correct?
Yes, in 2016 and 2017.
How did you do?
On 2016, was in Medellin, Colombia, and I remember being in semis for both bikes, and in Cruiser, I ended up snapping off a crank arm, the full-on snapped the shaft in the center, and that kind of ended that, and then in class, I ended up breaking a pedal off, so the first world experience was not the most ideal, but getting to semis and experiencing that entire race, which was completely different than any UCA BMX. USA BMX race that I have ever been to. And then going into 2017 Worlds, I won Cruiser, which was a bit of a shock for me as well. And then in class, I was going into first corner, sitting third, and a rider made a move, and I ended up crashing with him and finishing fifth.
Oh, man.
We'll be right back.
Hey, quick question for you. Are you someone who wants to be fit, healthy, and happy? And what if I told you you could get your dream body by simply just listening to a podcast? I'm Josh.
And I'm KG, and we are the hosts of the Fit, Healthy, and Happy podcast.
Listen, we get it. Fitness isn't easy. Carbs, no carbs.
Just stop, okay? It doesn't have to be that complicated. And that's why we made this podcast. We get straight to the facts so you can become your best you.
So the way to check us out is click the link in the show notes or search Fit, Healthy, and Happy podcast on any of the major podcast platforms. We'll see you soon.
Tell me this, was there ever a thought of you going pro?
I mean, there was a few times where it seemed like something that was a reasonable growth period. Like, I felt like it was definitely possible within grabs, but then those were kind of the times I had to sit back and look and be kind of like what I wanted to do into the future, and where the risk to reward wasn't exactly where it needed to be. For the starting of my time period for the pro circuit. And those are kind of the decisions that we ended up making. And it was a definite thought for a while, though.
Not bad, not bad. What type of bike are you riding now? Are you still on the Haro, or are you going to be riding the Rift?
I'm currently still on the Haro, but we do have a Rift in order, which I am pretty excited about. I've asked around a lot and heard they're a fantastic bike. And I'm pretty excited to get back to that metal frame. And nothing against anything carbon. But at my size at over 200 pounds, something about carbon fiber just, it doesn't make me feel very comfortable.
Yeah. Yeah. What, so what's your setup? Are you telling me you're triple X? Because you're a tall guy. You're not a small fella. So you are you a triple X? What type of cranks length are you riding? What kind of bars, things like that?
So currently on the Haro, we have the double XL, which is the Nick Long edition. It's the biggest bike that they have. They made out. And the top tube is a little bit shorter. I want to say it's a 2175, if I remember correctly.
Uh-huh.
But the rear end is 17 and a quarter inches long. So about inch, 2 inches bigger than most bikes. And riding that setup, it was a little bit of a weird adjustment at first. But as far as the comfortability with it, there's a lot of play in their back and forth, even with the shorter top tube. For crank setup, I got, surprisingly, I got 175s currently on my bike.
Wow.
I was running 177 and a half for a while until I broke those. And I just, I never really liked the 180s. I ran them for a little bit, but just that longer rotation, it tried to shorten it up a little bit, get a little bit more spin going in my current day phase. So the 175s have really kind of clicked for me as I came back into the sport. And I'm 60 millimeter stem on it. So trying to max out that length as much as possible. And I've gotten so comfortable to that bike. It's almost a little bit nerve wracking switching over to something else. But yeah. I think going to a triple XL for the Rift frame, getting that little bit longer in the top tube and riding a bigger bike is going to be something that I'm going to be able to work with and comfortable transition for sure.
Not bad. Will that have a longer rear triangle?
That's the goal. We're going to try to max it out as much as we can to get close to that 17 inches. I don't think it's going to reach the whole way, but I know that Rift makes a frame where they can, they got a pretty big dropout if you max it out towards the back, and trying to get as close as possible so we can minimize any loop outs or potential issues that the transitional phase will have, but we'll have to work with it as best we can.
Not bad. Not bad. Tell me this, in all your time of racing, what's your favorite national and why?
Favorite national? Honestly, I would probably have to say, probably a little cheesy, but the hometown nationals.
Yeah.
I mean, really, in the national scene, it brings together not only teams, but local teams from your state. So having the hometown national being right in your backyard, bringing all your family and friends and people that usually don't get to come out to the nationals, really just, it bumps up that enjoyment a lot for me. And having a handful of those nationals at Rum River, there's been one time I was on the sticker, which was a pretty surprising moment. Nice. For me. And I took way too many of those. I still got a stack at home. It was a pretty exciting day, but that those nationals for sure were my favorite.
Wow. Not bad. Okay. What's your favorite track?
Favorite track? Well, I've always been trying to push myself farther and riding bigger jumps, more technical, bigger corners, and riding, it was Rock Hill for sure, having that supercross setup, really just, it filled all my wants and needs as far as getting up to that top speed real fast, having these super big jumps to hit, and still really technical as far as the third and fourth straight went. I'd probably have to say Rock Hill, but I have not experienced any of the other supercross tracks that have been built in the last handful of years, and I'd be very eager to go ride them and see how they are.
Okay, I was going to ask you that. I'm glad you went into that. What do you think? What do you think of the supercross tracks, and do you prefer to ride them or a flat hill?
Well, riding a flat hill, I'd have to say, boosts your power in your legs and gives you more of that aggression right off the start. But something about a 5 or an 8 meter hill, just having that drop phase and just immediately getting to that speed without having to grunt it out, and it just, it's a great feeling. Just speed and smoothness, having that. I'd have to say I really enjoy riding those 5 to 8 meter hills. And like I said, having that skill, it sets the difference between, you know, riders who have been mainly speed or riders who have a lot of skill, because it equals it out pretty good.
Not bad, not bad. Now, this season, will you focus on, and here's my thing, I love racing in Minnesota. It's my home state. It has a great, great BMX atmosphere there, and they have a wonderful state series. Will you focus on the state series this year?
That was the initial starting point, is racing in the state series. Not too concerned about a state plate this year. I mean, if it happens, it happens. That's great, but really getting a chance to race in the pro-ams. And I've Rum River runs a big dog dash, is what they call it, for their Fire and Ice series. And I've been jumping back into those and racing kids like Bryce Plummer and a lot of these fast guys who just push me beyond anything. And from when I was younger, racing pro-ams till now, they've always been one of my favorite local events to do. So, I mean, I couldn't pass them up when it comes to all these tracks. It's riding against all these guys at different age groups, just gunning it out to see who's really the fastest in the state.
I love that. That's pretty darn cool. Okay, tell me this. Now, we had talked about it earlier where you had basically stopped and just wanted to figure out life from there. Talk to me about you getting into building houses, because I'm curious about that.
Well, there was actually a friend, a BMX parent, who had a job offering. And really at that time, I didn't have an exact point to where I wanted to be. I was always really big into welding in high school and thought that was the direction I wanted to go. But I got a little bit over getting lit on fire as far as that goes. So we were kind of phasing out of that. And he said it was just building houses and stuff. And I took the job offering, and it ended up being a smaller group that worked down into the bigger metro area, building custom homes and figuring out this wide variety and aspect that I didn't know anything about. And it kind of like refueled and filled back into my old BMX days where I was learning new stuff and had this opportunity to build myself to what I call, I like being a perfectionist with things. So trying to be the best at really anything that I can do, it gave me that opportunity to really try and advance myself.
Man, that's pretty cool. Last couple of questions, because I know you're on the road. Tell me this. The one question I did want to ask is, when did your dad start announcing?
Oh, geez. I don't think it was for the first couple years that we were racing. I want to say he started announcing locally for sure at Rum River. I can't pinpoint exactly the time frame. I'd have to say within 3 to 4 years of us starting to ride. And he was in a speech thing. I don't know what it would be called. But in high school, he did speech. So he went and talked to a lot of people. So he was always really comfortable having open conversations, especially over the mic and stuff. And it really worked for him. And in hearing him announce and progress over the years and announce nationals and so many different single points, it's a little bit weird nowadays not to have him announcing all the time. But he kind of picked it up, and it worked out good for him. And it got to the point where pretty enjoyable to see him get back into the sport itself.
Not bad. Is he gonna get back in full time, do you think?
Well, I don't know about full time, but he definitely, you can see the itch in him. When he goes back to the track, he loves talking to everybody. He loves picking up the mic and announcing. I think his biggest thing that he enjoyed was watching us ride, and being that we're starting to ride again and put ourselves back into the track scene, he definitely enjoys picking it back up and talking to everybody.
Not bad, not bad. Okay, last couple questions here. If you had an opportunity to vacation anywhere in the world and you had unlimited budget, where would you go and who would you take with you?
vacation anywhere. You know, as much as I would really enjoy going out to some of these big BMX tracks in different countries and stuff like that, I probably have to say going out somewhere in a different country for sure. Maybe Thailand would be a nice place. Really going somewhere I haven't gone. And I would take my fiance for sure. We would go out there and she would be the plan setter of everything. She is great with setting up plans and stuff. More like a trip guide in that aspect. She makes it fantastic, surprises me with things. And I would have to say taking that nice time and spending it with her in a different country and experiencing a different culture and a lifestyle that would bring some pretty good joy for sure.
Okay. If there is one race that you could win, what race would that be?
If there was one race, I mean, winning an Olympic gold medal would be pretty cool, but I think that's kind of out of the cards for me at this point. Possibly going back and winning another world title would be really enjoyable, getting a chance to soak it in again. I don't know where the BMX career would go after that, but if we got to the point where we could win another world title and experience that with the current state of life, I think that would be pretty sweet.
That's pretty cool. All right, Taylor Riedemann, I want to tell you thank you for saying yes to do this interview. I hadn't talked to you in a while, but I always follow you on Facebook. So, man, I'm glad for your success in life away from the bike and coming back. I'm glad to have you back in the sport of BMX.
No, thanks, man. It's great to be back. And once again, I really appreciate you reaching out and giving me a chance to talk on your podcast.